The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Now, I want to talk to you because you're obviously upset.
Permission is granted.
Glad I met you. I'm glad I met you, James.
I was not considering the fact that I, in fact, am the third man, capital T, capital D, capital M. But I am.
I want to show you something.
Let's take off all our clothes.
And maybe that's true. And that's what I said.
That's the how we used to sing it. I'm sorry. That's just the way we used to sing it. It's the way you should sing it from now on.
But look at this. What is this?
I hate to put a negative spin on this, because it's great to drink, and everyone loves to drink.
They say you should not drink alcohol when it's so hot.
And I've talked about this, too, in the past, when I talked about soccer moms.
That was so good.
No, I didn't talk about soccer moms.
Excuse me for saying it. It's not even my place to say it.
I'm talking about soccer moms who became roller derby moms. And don't...
It was the old stuff.
And don't you think I haven't stopped. I have given up on the roller derby thing. Let's just get Pi Kim on the phone.
Wait. Where are the phones?
They took the phones.
Huh? We're not using Skype. Tonight, today, this afternoon.
You're such a hero. You're so rich. How come you're coming down here and waste your time with such a bunch of bums?
But let's not get into that. Let's not talk about me. Even though it is all about me. Let's not talk about me. Let's talk about Nancy.
What did I learn as a kid on Western? You don't sell a guy one car.
But I believe that, you know, we couldn't have a lot.
So I don't know, do I?
Let me have your attention for a moment.
Do what you got to do if you're a neo-postmodernist, and I know you are.
What is that?
Look, just go, Jay, the best thing to do is just Google the gal.
Let's talk about something important.
I really am when it comes to this thing.
Let's talk about something important.
Just a whole nother angle just took place in my head.
Put that coffee down.
But let's forget about drugs and medicine. Let's talk about sex.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
That's going to be happening. I got some things to cover before we get there. Dirty Things Get Stiff by Frank Cotolo.
It may mean something to you. It may not. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Does that mean that if you dirty things stand, dirty things get stiff?
So there I was in a bar and I was eating shrimp, because that's what I do. The man next to me whispered in a hushed sort of way, which is what whispering is, and he said, hey, can I buy you a beverage to replenish your precious body? Bodily fluids? I said, sure. And almost instantly a glass of whiskey appeared before me. I kept eating shrimp, because that's what I do. And he said, I've got a lot of pow. And I said, yeah, I've got a lot of shrimp. The Frank is on right now.
I have come to the conclusion that one useless man is called a disgrace, that two are called a law firm, and that three or more become a Congress. And by God, I have had this Congress. For 10 years, King George and his Parliament have gull-cullied and diddled these colonies with their illegal taxes, stamp acts, Townsend acts, sugar acts, tea acts. And when we dared stand up like men, they have stopped our trade, seized our ships, blockaded our ports, burned our towns and spilled our blood. And still, this Congress refuses to grant any of my proposals on independence, even so much as the courtesy of open debate. Good God, what in hell are you waiting for?
Thomas, for God's sake, listen to me. Enough of you, sir. Now listen. Will you listen to me and forget the window?
I say vote yes, vote yes, vote for independence.
Open up a window.
I say vote yes. Vote for independence.
Someone at all, open up a window. No. Too many flies. One is not as hell, we are.
God consider yourselves fortunate that you have John Adams to abuse, for no sane man would tolerate it.
John, you're bored. We've heard this before. Now, for God's sake, John, sit down.
I say vote yes.
No.
Vote yes.
No.
Vote for independence.
So will I open up a window.
I say vote yes.
Sit down, John.
Vote for independence. Will someone shut that man up?
Most assuredly, we will all hang separately.
Frank Atolo.
And?
And me, Tom Savino.
Here he is. Here he is, sitting down in his radio seat. Is that your radio seat? Is that your work seat?
It's my radio work seat. It's my working radio seat.
Yeah, nobody calls this work. This ain't work. This is just, what is this? This is not work. This is Savino Cattolo Chronicles here, brought to you through the facilities of SRM Media Works, the bards of broadcasting. There's a pair of bards on the air right now. Boy, you're going to learn some things and have... Boy, we're gonna rustle your feathers tonight, aren't we? Tonight, today, this afternoon? Melting the metaphysical and the mundane with Tom Savino and me, Frank Cattolo. A program that made internet broadcasting what it is today. And what is it today? I don't know. But I know that we're here with our luck, our smarts, our guts, and our hearts. And we're ready to trip this light. Fantastic. Y2K plus 13. We're running out of time. You're running out of time. It's true, too. We're running out of time. It's almost Y2K plus 14. And we never thought we'd get through Y2K. Right?
That's right.
And then 14 years later, here we are, here, for all you people, all you fans, all you friends, all you comrades, all you, amigos, what else are these people?
Colleagues.
Colleagues. Compatriots.
Compatriots.
Well, stand by. This is going to be 2 hours that you're going to... You're going to want to take care of this. First, of course, in Mandarin.
Bingkau do bingkau, xiu chun do dai si, ham sub nguk zai do ham sub zhong sum. Hai, Cthulhu Chronicles.
That means from ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and his whoever-y bordello. Here we go again. Do you believe that you can translate that? Tom?
I can't. I cannot translate that.
Wow. You know, it's funny to me sometimes that, and I know all the time, if I think about this, that you can say things in an entirely different language and mean the same thing as the other language.
I know. Isn't that amazing? You know, the subject, do you know what Esperanto is?
If my heart should meet in Esperanto. I don't know. Esperanto is a Spanish word for wait till tomorrow? No.
Esperanto. Is a language that I think it was in the 70s that world linguists said, hey, why don't we have like an international language, a world language?
Really?
Yes, and they developed one called Esperanto. I have a book somewhere in this room that is in Esperanto, but it didn't take off. It just never took off. And
you mean not everybody didn't want to speak the same language?
Yeah, they thought, hey, this is a great idea. So we could all, you know, if everybody spoke Esperanto, you'd go and travel anywhere in the world, and there you go. But it didn't happen.
No, I guess it didn't. I don't know where they came. Were there like a bunch of people who knew all languages and they took a little from each language? Or how'd they just decide on a language? I mean.
Well, they did essentially do that, actually. They took the most popular languages. They said, hey, let's go with the ones that a lot of people already speak. That's easy to structure. And that wasn't English, because English is, as you know, is not easy to structure, and the rules are weird in English. English is very strange.
Well, even people who speak English, we talk about this all the time here. Even the people who speak English and write English don't do it correctly. Most people don't. Yeah. But yet, when I see like I'm on you're watching 60 Minutes or something, you're talking to this Chinese guy who's just he's just some kind of dignitary or something, and he knows English. And I say, wow, you know, how you know way more English than I could ever know Chinese. And so English, for some reason or another, people who do live their daily lives with very complex languages. I'm considering Chinese to be one.
Yes.
Just like when Phil Hong was here, and he said, you know, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. So you just can't say dong. You got to go dong. No. You know.
My daughter-in-law is Chinese. And she was telling me exactly that. It's your inflection. You can say the same, basically the same word, but your inflection, your pitch. Imagine that.
Yes.
Would change the meaning. It would change the meaning of the word.
Man, we're going to do it in English, though. I don't want to. That's it. We are translated by other people into many languages. I think I mentioned this 100 times, but maybe I never told you, Tom. But when the first, in the early days of internet radio, there was a cafe in Spain. It was actually in Madrid that was able to. They just got the sophisticated equipment. They were able to get pick up my show.
Wow.
Okay. And mm-hmm. we learned about this. We had no idea that we were broadcasting. So what they did is when they closed, because with the time difference and everything, it was very late. When they closed, a lot of the people who worked there and the owners and stuff would sit around and listen to the show. And we found out later that they hardly understood any English at all. But there was something about how I spoke and the way I spoke. And they just sat there. Got drunk and laughed at the sound of my voice. They didn't care what I was saying.
Wow.
and we heard from them. Yeah, isn't that amazing? And I took that as a compliment because, that's far better than anything I say. I mean, people would be like, oh, gee, but they didn't understand what you said. They would say, but weren't you saying things?
Well, listen, there were many nights that we've been together years ago when we were, had a little too much to drink. I didn't know what the hell you were saying. But
it's still the same, right?
It was funny. I know the way you were saying it.
So whatever language you might be speaking, you're here. It's Cotolo Chronicles and Savino Cotolo Chronicles on this. This is our October edition. Tom has whipped up any number of things. You were always a very I don't want to say fanatic, but you were always had a penchant for American history, as I remember it. And some of the things you're going to bring to the table tonight have to do with American history with those
yes.
groups. And I didn't even when we wrote those when I wrote the blog thing and the advertisements and everything. I said, gee, borderers and cavaliers. Now, you know, cavaliers and Puritans and borderers Quakers. And Quakers, of course.
Right. We For the first four major waves of settlers in the United States were those four groups that you just mentioned. Puritans, Cavaliers, Quakers, and Borderers.
And you don't teach American history, right?
I do not teach American history,
but
no.
But you did. You always had a penchant for that.
I did.
And I remember.
I do.
You did, you do, and you will.
Probably, yes.
I remember many things about you, but these useless little facts that I remember. For some reason or another, they just strike me. But I remember when you were reading a book once, maybe we were on the subway going to school or something, or high college or whatever, and you had a book called Presidents Are People.
Oh, wow. You remember
that?
Yeah,
I do, because I remember later in life reading it and actually passing it on to people, other people, and saying, you got to read this because it's fascinating. There are so few presidents, and they're, right? I mean, considering the amount of time that's passed in this country, or if you compare them to, you know, leaders in Italy, which would that change every 2 months?
Yeah.
or South America, and met presidents. And I'm always interested, and I've always been interested, and you know this too, I've always been interested in any kind of celebrity as a person. Like, well, what do they do? What are they? Well, what goes on? They're just the same, you know? And that book was, I remember that book because you found it, and it was about United States presidents and particular quirks and things about them that made them brought them down to our size.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's funny you mentioned presidents because you played a little segment in the beginning too that I don't know what it was from, but it was.
Oh, that was. Let me tell you, that was from the musical 1776.
I thought
that would be appropriate. That was the song or the piece called Sit Down, John, when John Adams was talking to Congress and saying, what a worthless bunch of – it sounded like it happened yesterday. You know, I thought that would be apropos. So, yeah, that's –
It is apropos, yes. That was great piece that you picked out there. It was good. And I just before the show started, I got an email. Somehow or other, I got on – the list of a right wing list, which is, you know, strange. However, I'm finding it, you know, I'm trying to know the other side and learning interesting things. Now, I just read a tweet on this website called Red State. The email came from a site called Web State. Red State. And they had a tweet from a guy who's a tax reform policy director. A tax reform policy director. You can't get much more right than that. I mean, you know,
tax reform policy director. This is a man who directs what the policy is going to be for trying to push tax reform. I don't, you know. Go ahead.
And of course, you know, the tax reform has been and is more than ever a right-wing value. You know, let's reform taxes. Let's do away with them. Let's, you know. But this guy tweeted – a tweet about Ted Cruz. And he said, I think I know how everyone must have felt about Aaron Burr. Ted Cruz is a despicable man who lies to good people. So, you know, it's my hope is that even the right wing will get to see how crazy these Tea Party people have become, are, and hopefully won't be anymore.
Now, T-E-A, although it refers to, of course, the famous tea, throwing the tea in the ocean and what have you, but T stands for tax enough already. So it is tax, right? Do you know that? That's what it stands for.
Yes.
Tax enough already.
But yeah. So you see,
I'm confused, and I want to just say this, that if I'm not going to take any stance, it doesn't matter anyway what stance I take, but once in a while I'm going to ask you questions and I'm going to be like the devil's advocate because I'm going to want to, you know, want the other side to know exactly,
You know, I might be represented because I've been on not more than once, but some conservative shows have me on, probably just to, you know, kind of like metaphorically hang me.
Yeah,
and like, it's not because I don't disagree. I just don't understand. And I keep telling you, like, how could, you know, I don't know how people could think certain ways. It confuses me, but go ahead. Yeah. So Ted Cruz, and this guy, and this is what I mean. If I knew nothing about politics and I didn't care and I'm not active at all anymore doing anything. I saw this guy for the first time. I didn't know what he was going to say or what have you.
Ted Cruz?
Yeah, Ted Cruz, right? Okay. And this guy, and I, people out there who listen to the show know me. I mean, and it gets kind of surface and petty and what have you. But I just looked at this guy, and he was so goofy. Look, he has a look to him that it's almost like, I don't know what he's going to say, but I'm going to laugh at it. Because, like, this guy, and then the sound of his voice came out. Mm-hmm. And I could find people, characters like that, that are on the left too. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. There's people, you know, but this guy, I don't get him now. So, and everyone knows now exactly who we're talking about here. Why you brought him up again because of the tweet and because he's a big hero, to many. Huh? What?
Well, he's a hero to the Tea Party folk, and that blog that I referred you to last week is from a historian. Now I say he's a historian, I don't know who he is because he calls himself Genius at Work. So I don't know.
It's one of those internet things we have.
don't know what. You know, his person is.
You don't have to pass any tests. You could start a website and say I am a historian.
Well,
right? Or is this guy?
He did at least he quoted often a real historian and a real book on history called Albion's Seed: Four British Folkways in America. Okay. That's actually where we get the information about the Puritans, Cavaliers, Quakers, and Borderers.
Oh, so this is a reputable person. We're not. I didn't know who you were. If you were just talking about someone related to Cruz that didn't have any credentials, you're talking about the person who originated the material that you're getting this stuff from.
Yes. And but just to go back a minute on the Ted Cruz issue.
Yeah.
When I first saw him, and still when I see him, it's like he's a crazy mix to me. I mean, for me, his look is a crazy mix of Lou Costello and Joe McCarthy, Senator Joseph McCarthy. I think he's like the reincarnation of Joseph McCarthy, this guy, I swear.
I saw something on Facebook where somebody has his picture on the left and they had Al Lewis on the right. Now, Al Lewis is the guy who played the uncle, whatever his name is, in the Munsters.
Remember? Oh, wow, yeah.
Al Lewis bears a resemblance to him too. He was he was also Schnauzer, I think, on Car 54. Where are you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That guy. He looks like him a lot, doesn't he?
He does. I didn't. That's a good. Whoever picked that up, that's good. Yeah. But see, he's every man, Ted, and that's what he's trying to be too. Every man, every man in the Tea Party sense.
I watched Meet the Press a couple of weeks ago, and one of the guys on the panel, I don't know, he was a journalist or he's somehow connected to people who collect information on the Hill, and he said I knew Ted Cruz. He said Ted Cruz went, you know, before he became, because what did he do? He was a repairman or something. He did something, and he got into Congress. He ran and got into it. He said, I knew this guy. He said, and this guy had no relationship whatsoever with anything he talks about now. He just caught on to something and decided this was going to be his role and his character, because that's the way he would get ahead. But he didn't have any of these views. He wasn't even this person. And this guy, I don't know why he would say that. You can't just make it up. He must have known him.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that sounds like somebody trying to make it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's, I'm glad you mentioned that because it bolsters my personal feeling. I'm gathering data on this, but first I have this feeling about this guy that he's a total opportunist. He is just totally an opportunist. Yeah. And I do know from gathering some data that he is handpicked and backed by the Koch brothers. They fund him. This whole shutdown that we recently had was planned 6 months ago. And the Koch brothers and Cruz and some of the other Tea Party biggies were called in and said, "Look, what if we just hit this Obamacare thing, even though it's the law, even though it went to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court, conservative Supreme Court said, yeah, it's the law, even though regardless of those things, what if we just like kept pounding at it, kept hitting it? You know, we're going to repeal it. Let's repeal it. Let's defund it. What if we said, we're not going to negotiate anything until you defund it? What?" And they even went as far as to say, what if the other side, the Democrats, say, no, we're not going to even negotiate that. And what if that closes down the government? And they said, hey, that'd be pretty good. Mm-hmm. That would be pretty good.
Because no press is bad press, and any action would have an opposite and equal reaction. They could always use that. That's just strategical politics.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, I understand the strategy of that, but There are things at stake here. You know, there are things at stake.
But wouldn't they say that also? Wouldn't they say, yeah, here's what's at stake. What's at stake is how we want to run the nation and what we want to do and how we're trying to make that a majority policy. That's what they'd say. That's what's at stake. Yes. And then all the junk about grandkids and kids and all that stuff. And John Daly. No, it's the Daily. I keep calling him John Daly. John Stewart.
Yeah. Said, of the Daily Show.
The Daily Show said he came. He said, was it him? Or maybe it was him or whatever. He said that the president finally, this before they stopped the shutdown, the president finally said had a bunch of the conservative people from the Congress over to the White House to talk. And those people that went there were disappointed to find out that the president was still black.
Yes.
And
they went and hoped to negotiate, but unfortunately discovered that the president was still black. So yes, that's a very good, humorous, but accurate. You know, accurate, and that's part of this. The borderers. That's part of their psychology. See. Part of their makeup. Now, I want to go back to a point you made just before you mentioned the John Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, they would say,
mm-hmm.
but we are fighting this because we want to help the country. We want to do the right thing. We want the majority of the people. But that is the point. They are so in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
They are so in the minority. This guy's blog that I had referred you to that started this whole discussion that we're having,
mm-hmm.
he's saying somehow the media just picked up on this Tea Party thing, and they don't represent not even close to half the country, And we can see that actually in the poll numbers, not just who won elections, but popularity things right now and so on and so forth. They don't represent not even close to half of the people of this country.
Mm.
But they hold on this, we are going to do this demand, we demand this thing. And it's their history to demand. They are the people from England. They're called the borderers because they were always fighting border disputes of unresolved borders, of areas that where the government was not very powerful. So they have this whole history of a government not being powerful, not knowing where the borders end and begin, and a history of violence and fighting as well.
So these borderers were a group of people at the beginning of the country, the beginning, well, at the, what, at, who were these borderers?
Well, they came from England, they settled in the Appalachian area and the Highland South, but then unlike the Puritans and the Quakers, who remained east, the Puritans and the Quakers remained east. Yeah. Most of them, the roots of the Democratic Party are actually in the Puritans and the Quakers. It was the Cavaliers and the Borderers are the roots of the they form the roots of the Republican Party, and it was the Borderers though that started spreading westward, and that's why they do have influence. Their influence have spread to Oklahoma and Arkansas and Texas and then in more recent times Arizona and so on. So we see their influence in a lot of places, but number wise, they don't even come close to making. They're definitely not the majority, but they're not even close to half the country.
And how many borderers were there? I mean, there were. I don't know how. I don't know what these groups were made of in terms of numbers, and also. Were Pilgrims Puritans or Pilgrims Quakers? Were Quakers could be Puritans or Puritans could be – who were Pilgrims? Were Pilgrims – were Puritans?
The Pilgrims, as far as I know, the Pilgrims were Puritans. I believe okay. they Pilgrims. Were Puritans. I'm okay. not sure. But they would fall into the – I would say they would fall into the Puritan philosophy.
Now, Puritans are all, where all these people came over to get away from religious – religious suppression in England, because over there, and when I read a fabulous book, you've got to read this book, Tom. There's a book you've got to read, okay?
Okay.
Okay. It's called Will in the World. And this fabulous fellow whose name you could look up on Google, I keep forgetting his name, wrote this book, and it's a biography of William Shakespeare, because, you know, William Shakespeare has no... He didn't write things down. He wasn't like Dr. Fabliani. No, he didn't.
Quick, write it down.
He didn't have a diary or anything like that. Everything you know about him has to do with his times, what he did, and he wrote a lot of stuff that was from his personal life. Okay, and this guy put together. He went through tons of paperwork and literature, because you know the English are the most verbose. On paper and not on paper, people in the world. And he went through all this stuff and he followed William Shakespeare's life through all the papers. But here's what was also fascinating about it, which is true, and that is that the whole climate in England at that time, where I had no idea that people who went against certain religions actually were like beheaded, and they put their heads on the spikes of London Bridge to make examples of them. That religion was such that you had to have the religion of the royalty, or else you were just that's blasphemy. They would kill you. They'd put you in jail. They would put you in jail for everything. And that all the things that today, you know, I mean, homosexuality was in those times and everything. They would just, because it was all against the religion. There was a moral-based thing with the crown. And that ruled the world. So all these people who wanted to pray, if they were a little bit off what was going on with that whole Protestant, shakedown, those are the ones who were getting suppressed. That's why they left there. So those, I'm sure, you're talking about the Puritans and the Quakers were those people because right? Because they didn't have a British Protestant. Well, that's white Anglo-Saxon Protestant dogma.
Yeah.
Right. So they said, let's go overseas. And,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now,
so the Puritans and the Quakers, they did come here for religious freedom. The Cavaliers came for
basketball. I just had to say that was very good.
They came stupid. For things were, as you said, things were changing in England, and they couldn't own as much land as they wanted to there, so they came here to have large land holdings. It but was Cavalier, the borderers, however, who came here in search of, they came here in search of material betterment. And,
but Cavalier, has many, well, it, well, I'm not the definition. Why would these guys call Cat? So, I mean, we explained Puritans because they were pure in what they believed and it wasn't what, the, they could be killed. So they left, Quakers, I don't know about them, but I do know, I do know what a Cavalier, and even as a, what, as a noun, right? Well, you're a Cavalier. What, a, or are you as an adjective? A Cavalier fellow. What does that have to do with these Cavaliers? Because I never heard them as a group.
Well, the Cavaliers with a capital C, they were,
that rhymes with D and S, but, okay, go ahead.
They were, supporters, of, they were supporters of King, King Edward, I think. Let me see.
What year is that?
16, King Edward was beheaded in 1649.
Why? What did he do?
He, married a French
and lost his head.
Person. He just lost his head.
I was beheaded. And you know what? They didn't say the H in English. Go ahead.
He was beheaded.
Beheaded.
Yeah.
Oh, I say. Go ahead. What happened to him?
He was beheaded because, he had a disagreement with Parliament about the, he said, I'm a king. I have divine rights. And the Parliament said, no, you don't. And they didn't like him anyway because he married a French person and they wanted him to marry a Spanish princess for political reasons.
Oh, I see. But he was in the line of the bloodline of kings, because that's just like one bloodline.
Yes, yes, he was.
Well, it says here.
And after they beheaded him, there was a period of no royalty in England, which I didn't know until I started researching this for the show. There was a short period there, a relatively short period of no royalty. And then they said, you know what, let's have kings and queens back again. But I think we need them. I don't know why.
Really,
but they did start it again.
But, you know, there's I'm looking up Cavalier here in my very famous 1960 Webster's New American Dictionary. And the second definition says, a partisan of the Stuarts of England in the time of Charles the First.
Charles the First.
Sorry.
Now, I said
Edward.
Edward?
Yeah.
I said Edward.
As opposed,
Charles.
And this is a name for a book. I would love to. I got to write this. It's a play. I just hear it. You know, sometimes I hear a phrase and I go, that's a title of something I have to write. Which, okay, here it is. Here's the, okay, it says, partisan of the Stuarts of England in the time of Charles the First. And here's the phrase, as opposed to the Roundheads.
As opposed to the Roundheads.
Have you seen As Opposed to the Roundheads? That was just, isn't that Cotolo's new play? Yes.
Cotolo's play.
It opened last week. As Opposed to the Roundheads. Now, what are Roundheads?
Now, I don't know. Okay. Those were people that opposed the Cavaliers. I don't know. I don't
welcome,
know
everybody, to learn. Tonight, the Cavaliers play the Roundheads. And here, but here's the number one thing, and I think this might be from where the word originates, again, from Old English.
I'm talking about a Cavalier.
Yeah, Cavalier. That's what I meant. That's just how we know it. We know it as careless, easy, supercilious, curt, okay? Mm. But listen to what – it's a horseman. A Cavalier is a horseman. It's not just – he's a knight and a gay adventurer. That's back when gay meant
– a gay adventurer.
A happy adventurer. He was a gallant or lover.
Mm.
That's it. A gallant or lover, careless, easy horseman, a knight, a gay adventurer. And this actually says adjective, gay.
Well,
why are we laughing?
Yeah, in that old sense.
I don't know where. I think they started to use that word for homosexuality to mock the
Cavaliers. No.
Well, in a sense, to mock the Queen's incredible. Suppression of homosexuality. It was unbelievable how you would just be killed Well, look at Oscar Wilde. Didn't he go to jail for a long time? And many people were killed. And a lot of the guys who wrote poetry and the plays and stuff, Shakespeare's gang, they had little fun little affairs with people and guys and kids and stuff. They were a cavalier group. So all this, so I think maybe the word gay, I think if you've learned nothing politically, I think we have something we could look into, and that is the word gay must have been used as a protest to because it's cavalier. I'm cavalier. I'm gay. I'll go everywhere. Anyway, that's just a thought.
These things come up,
come up that's in conversation. Okay, so we know about the borderers. So we'll know about the cavaliers. They were horsemen. They were knights. They were whatever, and they had their set of rules. The Puritans, we know. The Quakers, we know, were extremely conservative, biblical people, Old Testament people, maybe New Testament people. I don't know, but the borderers, there were a bunch of people in England who just said, I hate how they have separated all these counties. Let's go somewhere where there's no separation, or we can clearly define our area. I mean, when do you become a borderer? What did they do?
They have a history of this conflict because of borders in the area of England and mostly during James the VI time in the 17th century, and they were constantly fighting a perennial violence, and they could only seem to solve things through retaliation. You know, this is their history, and they finally said, "Let's go to America." But they had, you know, they already had this propensity to be conflicted and to dispute things, and it was just, you know, it was kind of like in their nature, you know.
I'm amazed that we've never
heard. Brought that here, and they brought that demeanor with them, you know.
And you're saying that. Do they have any writings or do they have any books? Are there people who were known as borderers that Tea Party people would look up to in history? Because remember, they look back at all the time with the founding fathers and stuff. Were the founding fathers, some of them were borderers, or did they?
Well, where these people, you know, this is an interesting thing. And this is also part of their, value system, which is now the Tea Party value system. They did not have any respect for public education whatsoever, or they were homeschooled, and they valued spoken communication and not written communications. They did not write anything that I'm aware of that would be worth investigating. Maybe historically, I suppose, but they were not writers. They were speakers, and that whole attitude, you know, this whole thing about, if you're educated, you're an elitist, you know, that's part of their attitude, you know.
Maybe they didn't write books. Maybe they sold them, and then they went out of business. Remember wasn't that Borderers Books?
Yeah, Borderers Books, yes. And coffee. That's why.
They didn't write them, they sold them.
The Borderers Books. Very good, I like that one.
I don't know who these fellows and gals were at all. I'm just surprised that I've never heard of them. We took very intense American history courses in college.
Yeah. And now that you mention it, I don't remember investigating borderers. I heard, of course, the Puritans and Quakers.
I guess it was the quality or lack of quality of the teachers. The same
now,
one. Go ahead.
This blogger, Genius at Work, was stating that in the last election, the last presidential election, that was the fewest counties to have ever voted Republican I mean, I don't think I'm saying that right. In the history of America, that last election had the fewest counties to vote Republican ever. But those counties that voted Republican are where the borderers settled. That's where the borderers settled. That's where they have spread. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, the areas in Oklahoma and
are we talking about bloodlines that go way back to the beginning of the country? Are there borderers who are borderers now could say, well, you know, my great, 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 however many generations goes back was a borderer who came in here, just the way some people can say Puritans, or they're related to people who are Puritans. By the way, didn't the Quakers come from Germany? They didn't come from England, did they? Did the Quakers come from Germany?
You know, I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm here in Pennsylvania, and of course, there's Quakers, but there's the Amish aren't the Amish spinoffs of spinoffs? Yeah, technical,
they
I can do
derivatives.
Are they spinoffs of Quakers? Aren't they? So they, yeah, I think that's German. Because Pennsylvania is a German influence, but Puritans is English, and borderers are English, you said. But are there people who you mentioned here that they settled in these particular areas of the United States that still exist and are still very conservative and borderistic? Is that a way to say it? Borderistic?
Yeah, but you know, you bring up a good point, really, because I don't think anybody I've never met anybody or I've never even heard anybody identify themselves, himself or herself, as a borderer.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, I could certainly say, gee, you know, my ancestors were Puritans, you know, or my ancestors were Quakers.
Yeah.
But actually, the other two, Cavaliers and borderers, I have never heard that, or I can't, I didn't know where to look to see, oh yes, my people were borderers or Cavaliers or something. So that is an interesting point. Based on what the little I know about their backgrounds here, would consider themselves Tea Party people. And maybe before there was a Tea Party, because I think Tea Party started in 2009, before that, they would just consider themselves very conservative Republicans.
Is there a founder? Is there a Tea Party founder? Is there one person who gets some kind of credit for saying, I'm going to start another party, and it's more conservative than Republicans because the Republicans have gone to the center and over to the left. So we're going to get back our true conservative. Mm-hmm. Did anybody say anything like that? I mean, who's like Tea Party? Who's Mr. Tea Party or Mrs. Tea Party?
Well, that you bring up another good point, and that's
why
points. You have a show every week.
No, yeah, but I'm asking.
Chronicles.
I'm asking because I don't know. This is, you know, this is your
These
subject.
These are good questions.
And this is why it works together, you see, because you should know. You're holding the books of knowledge.
Well, based on my research, by the way, I am. I've made a vow to me. To me.
Why don't you make it to the world right now? The world is listening. Make a vow to the world, will you?
I am trying. I'm going to spend the next couple of years being as objective and fair-minded
would
as
you please?
Possible.
Would you please?
Like I really want to know. Like, I would love to sit down and talk to a Tea Party person. Like, I'm like a really, you know.
I did. You see,
really talk to a Tea Party person. Yeah.
Well, I did, and that's what I mean. John Matthews is a guy. He's on Facebook, and he's all over the place. I forgot Right or Wrong Radio. He had me on because actually we're pretty good friends in terms of just being acquaintances. We don't curse at each other and stuff. But he had me on his show called Right or Wrong Radio, and we had it out, and I was saying, like, look, you call me, label me whatever you want as a liberal, what have you. But here's the point. The point I'm trying to make here is that what it really comes down to, this faith-based, that's what conservatism comes down to, this Tea Party comes down to this, faith-based thing. And if we talk about all the suppression that, these borderers, all these people who came over here came from religious suppression. They came here for religious freedom, and they made that into politics.
if I'm not wrong. And that's where this Tea Party thing goes, because every time I talked with him, it always got around to some kind of, I'm not going to, it's not religious per se, but some kind of faith-based thing. And of course, our forefathers, they put, you know, God everywhere, but God in the money, God in the thing, God in the Constitution, I mean, you know, God, God, God. While at the same time that Benjamin Franklin was going over to France and, you know, popping little boys, this stuff was going on. So I think that what's happening here, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, is that, when you said you'd like to talk to him, I have. And it really always comes down to that. I did a show about, I did 2 hours once on the fact that this whole concept of God-given rights. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't even know what it means. God given right, and they're always on that side, and you know they're on that side because they say liberals are heathens, liberals are you know radicals, liberals are socialists, and all those people. Let's face it, are dominant beings that really all are personify their own deity, and they don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the great contradiction to me has always been, and you know this back from the old days, has always been, oh, you want to stay out of my life and you want to make the government stay out of my life, but you hear that? Was that a plane? You hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, go away, plane.
You don't have to apologize.
It's the NSA.
You don't have to apologize for planes. But the thing is, you want to stay out of my life, but you don't want to stay out of my bedroom. You know, so this moral, and you remember, you know, Frank Capici was the first person to tell me saying things like, why does the government always try to legalize morality? And that's what I said to the Tea Party people. And you know what they said to me?
What did they say?
They said, but the government does legalize morality. It legalizes the wrong morality, which would be abortion. See, it does legalize. So they said, you're worse. We're not legalizing morality. You could do whatever you want, but you're the ones who legalize morality because you say, oh, abortion's okay. Gay marriage is okay. All the blue laws are stupid because the blue laws go back to the Puritans and the stuff. Did I answer your question about talking to a team? Did I answer that or did I just go?
No, you brought up another
good point.
Good point here, and that is, I would just like to read just a little of this blog.
Go ahead.
This is from the blog I'm reading, folks. It says, in their religion, the Borderers were a mix of Scottish Presbyterians, English Anglicans, and members of other small Protestant sects with, quote, a strong tendency toward what was called New Light Christianity in the 18th century, gathering in field meetings and prayer groups, practices they brought with them to the American backcountry. Today's crossroads megachurches on the outskirts of town may perhaps be seen as having their origins in these field meetings. But this is the really important point, this next point I'm going to make, is that incidentally, the disconnect between Christian worship and Christian behavior is nothing new. And from Fisher's book, that book that I had mentioned earlier, he says, quote, many denominations were planted in the wilderness, but various groups of Presbyterians outnumbered all others and outrivaled them in religious bigotry. When an English missionary tried to conduct an Anglican sermon in the back settlements, the Presbyterians disrupted the services, rioted while he preached, started a pack of dogs fighting outside the church, loosed his horses, stole his church key, refused him food and shelter, and gave 2 barrels of whiskey to the congregation before the service of communion, end quote. That was from Fisher's book. And he's saying that those are the roots, those people are the Borderers. So, I mean, they may be, they may say they're religious people, but certainly their behavior is, their intolerance towards others is so unchristian as far as what I know Christianity to be. if you study the New Testament, if you listen to the, you know, if you read what Christ said, you read what the apostles said about Christ, their behavior is so intolerant, it's just, you know, it's not Christian. Bill Maher, who was an atheist, says this all the time about, you know, yeah. Here are these Christians coming up and saying this, that, and the other, but they are so not Christian. If they should at least follow Christ if they want to, you know, be say this, you know.
My father used to think I was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because?
Yes, I totally
because,
agree
oh, yeah,
with
because every time I walked in the room, he'd say, Jesus Christ, are you back again? The the old jokes, they're the ones. This Cattolo Chronicles. Oh, yeah. But it's a Savino Cattolo Chronicles. That's why you're hearing this voice speaking in a very professorial way, telling us about things that we should know in history. I think what, mm-hmm. and tell me if I'm wrong here, Tom, or if I'm bringing up another good point.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to get to here is that the very conservative people in this country who seem to have a certain amount of control also think that they have a morality on a certain, I mean, they have a monopoly on a certain, on the morality. And what Tom is saying is that these people, this whole conservative movement has been spawned from a bunch of intolerant and annoying sons of bitches who just
that
want things.
That's a good way to put it.
Who just want things their way. Who just want things their way, and they don't, you know, it's like, don't confuse me with the facts. Is that what that's all about? So these are all goody two-shoes things too, aren't they? And yet you're saying they're not really, that's not their roots. Am I wrong in saying that's what we're talking about here?
I because think I think you painted that very well.
Because liberals are not, they always paint liberals as, we're immoral. I say we, but I mean, I guess I'm not conservative. But they say they're immoral, they're socialistic, they're power hungry and stuff. And yet they're just what? They're just big babies who poop their panties. Is that it? Pooping their panties?
Well, they, you know, they, I if I had to choose a word, I guess, one word.
Now remember, you made a vow.
it would definitely be intolerant.
Okay, that's there. Okay,
they are not. They won't. They just won't take in any other point of view whatsoever.
I'm fascinated.
And their point of view. See, now I'm finding out historically because it would always irk me, obviously, and I you know, like where are these people coming from? Well, now I know. Now I know where they're coming from. Like literally, where they're coming from, and what their history is, and they have a history of this intolerance. They have a history of. Fighting for, you know, for every thing they believe, you know, and not really compromising, not being able to compromise, not wanting to compromise, refusing to compromise. It's my way or the highway with these Tea Party former borderer people.
Now, isn't that also, which is, it was fascinating to me, because they're talking about groups getting away from England because of suppression, and yet the English were the ones who said, "Look, these Muslims just won't believe in Christ, so we're just going to have to go out and kill them," and that's what started the Crusades. And now, certainly, the Crusades was if we have to use a modern term, my way or the highway. I mean, weren't they just going out there saying, you know, burn those Korans and kill those Muslims because they don't like Jesus, they like this other guy. That's how they dealt with it. The Crusades, and they made it sound like this gigantic the movement for Christ, and yet the last person on earth who probably would have said, "Hey, why don't we just get a whole bunch of guys with swords and horses and go out and kill?" Would be
and kill people. Yeah, I know that.
And that particular hypocrisy is what we're talking about here, right?
Hypocrisy, yes, hypocrisy. That's the thing. Now, when you talk about hypocrisy, okay, I would say most Tea Party people, I would guess, I wouldn't say they were hypocrites. I would say they're definitely intolerant. Definitely intolerant. But you take, in my opinion, you take a guy like Ted Cruz, to me, that guy is a hypocrite.
Now, every group of
he's a total opportunist,
yes.
Just, you know, out to go as far as he wants. Just like Joseph McCarthy. I mean, the guy looks like Joseph McCarthy. I swear he's like
I don't see the resemblance with Joseph McCarthy, though. I really don't see that. I don't see the Joseph McCarthy resemblance or the Lou Costello.
No?
No. He looks – no, I don't see that. He always – and you know what he always looks like? He always looks like he's whining. He's always – the Cruz is like, And he's not – he ain't relation to Tom, is he?
To who?
Tom.
Tom who?
Cruz.
Oh. Why do you think he looks like that?
Your meds haven't kicked in yet.
I don't think so, because he would not be spelling it that way,
unless he can't spell. Maybe they can't
certainly
spell.
Certainly not a Scientologist.
Borderers couldn't, maybe they were not spellers. Hey, look, let's.
Oh, they were definitely not spellers. There's a whole thing in this blog about how we, you know, I'm coining a term here.
Quick, write this down, everybody.
Write this down. Do you remember back in the Nixon days? Mm-hmm. Remember the silent majority?
Yes.
The silent majority. Mm-hmm. I represent the silent majority.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We, because of the Tea Party, because of people like Ted Cruz, we have now become the silenced majority.
Ooh.
We're the silenced majority.
The silenced.
Yeah, majority. Because of their the media just picks up on them and goes with them, even though they are nowhere near even half, 50% of the country. They just go with it. Now that's another issue, is the how the media, we know how the media plays, and they want ratings and they want the sell papers and so on and so forth. And fear and confrontation sells papers and gets ratings. And so they run with this Tea Party stuff, you know.
Well, yeah, but the Tea Party is always calling the mainstream media.
You remember way back since we've been in college when we were taking communication arts, it was always the left-wing media.
That hasn't changed.
The ownership of the media is not at all left-wing. Since the Reagan years, there are fewer and fewer owners of media outlets. It's only in the hands of a few, and those are the people like the Koch brothers. That kind of person, those people, they're the ones who own all the media. And it's not at all left-wing.
You know what I find fascinating? I find fascinating that people, go to, and I know people who have money and everything, who go to, only listen to Fox, because that's where they get it, Fox News, Fox, they get, and television especially, that's where they get, they get their, the other side or whatever it is, they get the conservative point of view. Okay. And then, the people, and who's that? That's the guy from, England. Or Australia. It's the Australian guy who owns that, right? The, big, super.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the point. The point is that Fox comes out with this news station that is going to be the opposite of the liberal media, okay? And that actually, they just developed a format, and they have rules and policy in terms of using that. That's their spin. That's their format, okay? But FX is also owned, the FX station, also owned by the same people, I think it's called News Incorporated, what have you. You know they're the company that bought MySpace and bombed with it?
Really?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
That's the same, And MySpace, of course, went belly up from Facebook. They didn't know how to handle it. The news people, that News Corp, I think it's called, okay? They bought that. Okay, and they run Fox. But they also have FX. And if you watch the programming on FX, this is anything but – I mean, you wouldn't think anybody who has the opinions they have on Fox News would watch it. First of all, Louis C.K.,
his show,
I would not consider this a conservative-based show, okay? The cartoon Archer. Have you ever seen this cartoon Archer?
No.
Okay. Oh, did you ever watch American Dad? I told you.
Yes, I did. And I see what you're saying about Dead Air.
These cartoons, that's, what's his name? The guy who, Seth,
McFarlane?
Yeah, right. These are all very, these aren't conservative people. They're running programs that in the middle of the night use curse words and bleep things. Now, how could a conservative, and not only that, they just opened FXX. They just started FXX, which is another entertainment vehicle on cable. So they have two stations that have nothing to do with the conservative value. There's not one conservative family show on it. it's amazing. So, and how people don't see this, and they only listen to me because they think there's an alternative, and that alternative is an alternative to what? Because they think the other stations are so left leaning, and yet they go to this, and that to me is hypocrisy alone. I wouldn't imagine any conservative, God fearing or whatever, Bible bumping or whatever they are in terms of their morality would let any, and their kids watch Archer, or they wouldn't even watch it themselves as adults.
Yeah.
So it's weird to me.
It is a kind of, that. Actually, that what you're saying, that dynamic you're talking about, would fit in with this border philosophy, because above all else is financial profit. They'll say this. In fact, there's a whole combination of cultural factors produces a political culture in which people can take marching orders and talking points and follow them day in and day out without deviation.
There you go. And that's why they all sound the same. They're all so predictable. Every conservative voice says the same thing.
Yeah, they adhere to the party line. And, I could hear people thinking out there or saying, oh, what about MSN, MSNBC and that stuff? What don't? And yes, that's a liberal point of view. But really, if you really honest to God, take point by point, if you take, watch MSNBC and watch Fox, you will hear some different points of view on MSNBC. You will not hear the same. I swear it's like they planned it and say, well, here's, they gave everybody a script.
Yeah, this in the morning. It's like the
this
morning.
Is the
they have.
A, we're going to use.
They have a newsletter, or they have a bulletin board where they go and they all say the same thing. And I don't understand how people can listen to, especially now, radio. AM radio has turned into this, this parade of conservatism. And I'm going, how can the one after another? They're just different voices. And what I've said, and it is true. This is the truth. I kid you not. I'm here, Jack Parr. I kid you not. And that is that all these conservative voices on radio are crazy little disc jockeys who suddenly talking and they found their audience. And that goes for Limbaugh and Beck and Hannity and Schmidt. Hannity, the worst of all. I mean, these guys have not earned their way into the world of academia and intellectualia. Is that a word? Intelligentsia.
Intelligentsia. There you go.
There you go. I found it. Let's take 4 minutes to go to the bathroom and run a couple of spots, and then we'll come back. It's like, we're going to run some spots quick. Everybody, don't listen to him. Go to the bathroom. Or just put it loud so you can still hear him. Let's do that and then come right back. Hey, this is Cotolo Chronicles, Savino Cotolo Chronicles on YTK Plus 13 on October 24th. And we're talking about some pretty heavy stuff here, so lightly though, because we're okay with it, right?
Yes,
you know that's all. Let's do a couple of these things.
We need to be tolerant if they're not.
Let's get into that too, because I don't really consider myself very tolerant, but I don't know what side I'm on anymore. I don't know. I just know that it's amazing to me how people don't see through this stuff, but that's okay because.
Yeah.
You know what they used to say? They used to say, let's do these few spots and then come back.
Okay.
So if you have to run off there too, Tom, dispose of some bodily waste. Everybody else, remember, if you've been drinking, as you should be, because you have to replenish your precious bodily fluids as we go along. Not as Dee said in the beginning, replenish your precious body. I don't know. This is Cotolo Chronicles. We'll be right back here.
Radio.
that a furry in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Radio. Join Skylar Hall and Bolo Cute Fox for a rousing round of music that spans the genres. It's HotspotRadio.net. Radio. He'll take listener requests and dish it all live on SRN1. It's HotspotRadio.net, live every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. EST.
Radio.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky Escapades. Parallel Universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Finally, a book that reveals everything that runs through a man's blood. I'm talking, of course, about Molotov Memoirs. It's the book that's sweeping the United States and going over the ocean and sweeping Europe and everywhere else that's over there. I'm Frank Cotolo, and my book, Molotov Memoirs, is now available at blurb.com. Go to blurb.com and buy this fabulous book. It's the closest thing to an autobiography I could write without telling the truth. Includes great illustrations by T. Stephen Gessick. It's a book you have to hold in your hands and bring with you everywhere you go, because it's Molotov Memoirs, the way I remember it, the way you want to know about it.
Well, not always that mean, but I like to think it is.
Juice Talk Radio, the downloadable iPodable hub for amazing, delicious, juicy, insightful broadcasts.
And I hope those people out there listening realize it ain't often you can get these three voices the same exact time.
Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Well, I couldn't have said that better if I said it.
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
Pass me another bottle of white wine and I think I'll figure it out.
And The Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D. I want to be a writer when I grow up.
Really? Why? Because you have something to say?
You think? Archived weekly for your listening pleasure. Drink your juice.
I just want to get laid.
Juice Talk for the most intriguing shows based on art, sex, and opinion, with an emphasis on quality of culture and sound, at JuiceTalk.com. It's juicy.
What does the future hold in store for you?
Drink your juice.
Give me a break.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you. Yes, I'm
gonna be a star. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
These are the sounds of impaired driving. And then...
I don't think he's going to make it.
When you drive impaired, there's a price we all pay. Emergency response costs, doctors, caregivers, and more. Studies show that impaired driving costs us billions of dollars each year. But the victims of impaired driving pay the biggest price. Change for the better. MAD Canada, helping the victim, stopping the crime.
You're in the groove, Jackson.
And of course that means... You're in the groove. Hmm. Jackson means you're at Savino Cotolo Chronicles, Y2K plus 13, this October. Why is it October? Oct means eight.
Oct.
It means eight, and yet this is the 10th month.
Where did that? Where does that?
Yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah,
I don't know.
They screwed up. Must have been. I'm
impressed. Yeah, I didn't think I would be on a show with Paul McCartney.
How do you like them apples?
That's pretty good. Man. Well, first you tell me one thing. Then you
It's bad.
Still just as bad as ever.
It's so bad to do in jokes on a radio on a standard show where people don't know what you're talking about. We always used to joke, Tom and I, and everybody used to joke that Tom, the one thing Tom couldn't do, and Tom could do many things. He's a very talented man. He's one of the rare men who can just pick up any instrument and get something out of it, you know? but he can't do an English accent, no matter what.
No, yeah.
And we used to joke because he used to try to imitate Paul McCartney. And he did sound something like that. Give us your English accent again there, Tom.
And that's the only English accent I have.
Yeah.
Or even you'd be the judge. Well, first you tell me one thing, then you tell me another. It sucks.
Oh, it's insidious.
But at least it's funny.
It is funny. You're right. Because no one would know where you originated if you spoke like that, saying things. But
they'd probably say it was a borderer.
Borderer. And aren't there dogs? Aren't there borderers? Aren't there border collies? There are border collies and borderers. I think it's also a certain, I don't know, what do you call it, a metaphor, an allegory, an allophore, or a metagory, but if you think about just the idea of a border or somebody who sets up perimeters, or is that the word, sets up a border would set up boundaries. That's it, boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? And to call yourself a borderer, you'd be somebody who sets up boundaries, and those boundaries would be yours. Which would also put you in the box, or in a box, or in a place. Correct?
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense.
You know, what you're talking about now is the quality of retribution.
Mm.
Now, before there was the Tea Party, they still had these. I mean, look, these borderers were talking about the 16th century. You know, this is a long history of these people. That have this propensity for intolerance and don't cross over this border. In fact, what's their slogan? Don't tread on me, right?
Is that really? Did they come from – wasn't that one of the revolutionary
Yes,
phrases?
But they have taken that now as their flag now.
Nobody says tread anymore, though. I mean, even in English, nobody says you know, if someone takes your parking space, you go, hey, why did he tread on me that way?
Nobody
says tread.
Rarely. Only at like Goodyear tires would you hear that word.
No
tread on me.
Don't tread on me. So they
don't tread on me.
Those are
that's their mindset. Their mindset is don't tread on me. What you're saying, you know, like that they set up borders and don't cross this line.
Yeah.
And you know, it reminds me back in the 2000 election, which we have spoken about before, but. But I won't get into the Supreme Court thing. We already talked about that. But you remember that when they were counting the votes, that there was an office that was broken into, and this was on on camera, and these very rough men burst in and physically stopped the people from counting the votes. We later found out that they were on the payroll of the they were on the Bush payroll.
Uh-huh.
But this is the kind of their tactics, you know, violence is part of their mindset, you know, violence and here's an example of their values in that respect. Cattle rustlers were hanged, but rapists of young women were fined. And then there's also that sexism that goes along with them.
Well, that's a religious based. I keep saying religious. I don't mean that, but that's a Bible based thing. And you could have any sort of argument with people about, you know, man and woman, their roles. If you look at a biblical verse and text, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just not equal there. So it's a little hard to be. How about that new pope, huh? He calls up people at random. You hear about that guy?
No, I mean, I've heard a lot of good things about him. He seems to be incredibly tolerant.
Pope Frank. I have a pope named it. It's a Pope Frank. Yeah. And he just calls up people out of nowhere and he says, I don't care if you're gay. I just want you to love people and stuff. And he's trying to keep the name, he's trying to keep that Catholicism, that dogma out of it and just, make people, I mean, that's a radical pope. He drives around a regular car. Yeah. Do you see his car? He's got like a 94 Buick or something. Or
yes,
a Corvair.
I thought it was a Renault, but...
Maybe it is, but he refuses to go into the Pope Mobile. Well, you see, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. This world is changing to the point... Think about it. This world is changing to the point where the Pope is trying to really make... Catholicism, Catholic, the Catholic, of course, is a word that means universal. You can use it, Catholic means universal. That's the word. I guess he's trying to cross all these boundaries of different religions and sects, as you said, CTS, and just get into the fact of like, look, there's a basis to this. It's not necessarily, you don't have to go to confession, but, you have to be a human being. Just be a human being. Something is happening there. And remember, people are fleeing religions, organized religions, quicker than you could say Constantinople.
You said that pretty quickly.
I could have said Istanbul, but because it used to be Constantinople.
But Istanbul is Constantinople. Well, that's from another musical, isn't it?
Yeah, what musical does that originate? Istanbul is Constantinople. Anyway, so these borderers, but here's what I'm even going to say. Now, these days, though, you don't see Tea Party people acting like those wild borderers, do you? Or are you? Do you insinuate that perhaps there are radical people who could be who, if they're more radical, then they become maybe white supremacists or neo-Nazis? Because really, there's not much different, right, from the borderers. They have their own ways, and that's it.
There isn't that much difference, really. Mm-hmm.
They don't want the government, right?
But their spin on it, I won't say spin on it. They're, because they believe that, their belief is that this is the American way, that their way is the American way.
Well, wait a second. You know a lot about history, and you've read a lot of stuff too. So let's go to the core of this thing, because they always say to me, and you know what, I'm going to mention a name now, and you know who I constantly say things to on the on Facebook, who's really become a Tea Party person. I don't know if you're going to believe this. Who's really? I mean, he's just always has to post things. Down with the President Benghazi. I mean, always posting things that's anti-liberalism. Do you have any idea who I'm going to be talking about? Someone we know?
No. So, like, I would be surprised to hear this. Huh?
I think so too. Because even yesterday, after talking with him, I said, "How did you get into this? How did you buy into this ruck? What's going on with you?" I couldn't understand. Just read your Constitution, Frank. Do you know who I'm going to mention right now? You ready?
No. Who?
Joe Gagliardi.
Really?
He is a flaming Tea guy, even though he says, I don't like, and you know what he says, I don't like Republicans or Democrats. Oh, yeah, right, you're right in the middle there. And he does think, I mean, he constantly posting stuff. You know, whatever it is I believe, and I don't even know what that might be or what have you, I don't go out there and just post things and tell people, I remember this, like an old grouch. I'm sorry if I said his real name. I don't mean anything particularly. I love Joe. And I said, how does this arrive? How could a guy like this, go around playing Beatles songs? I don't get it. It's get it.
It's interesting because four years ago, five years ago. Obama was first elected.
Yeah,
Cheryl and I, my wife and I, went to visit back east, and we talked to my sister, my older sister, who has always been in agreement. Pretty much politically, and she and her husband were I mean, not just against Obama, because that's, listen, I got, you know, the things that, I'm not crazy about Obama. I am not crazy about Obama, but I couldn't believe that I'm hearing my sister and her brother-in-law espousing these Tea Party things. I'm saying, where are you coming? And their fear was, I don't want the things I worked for redistributed to other people. You know, I said, what are you talking about? Redistributed. Their thing was this, the big Obamacare fear, you know, how that's going to, in order to pay for this Obamacare, it's going to come out of their pocket, you know.
Well, before Obamacare, they'd stamped him with that character. You know, they built a character that they wanted everyone to believe was him. And part of that socialism stuff is redistributing. That's socialism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Redistributing wealth, which you know, I don't know if anybody who knows, but that's been going on since income taxes. I mean,
yeah,
it's like what's something new about this here?
Well, yeah. It's
but that, you couldn't believe this. I understand. Yeah, there's people I would never believe, but no less from our generation. I just don't get it. I don't
get it either. And I just, you know, I want to comment on what you just said about some mutual friend of ours that has now taken on the Tea Party philosophy. And it is surprising to me, but then again, you know, I've also had my own sister feel like that, and that was shocking to me. But you know, this whole thing about Democrats and Obama and this, I give you a list of things that upset me about Obama and things that upset me about the government. But I really do feel, and maybe I'm being naive or something, I feel, you know, this, we are the government. We are the government, you know. So when you say we have to stop the government from doing this, you're basically saying you have to stop us from doing it. You know, there has to be regulations. There has to be some kind of regulations for things.
I don't understand how they also. I don't understand how they say, look, you know, you can't drive a car without a license. You can't. There's so many things. That is state or government related. So I don't really know what they want. Do they want the states? Is it okay? In other words, would it be all right if, let's say, Oklahoma was this state that had no regulations, but everybody goes there to do? Is that the anarchy states? They want certain states to be anarchy and other states, because the states decide what they want. I don't even think their message is clear. I don't know what they want. Limited government is... Mm. How limited? I mean,
okay, here,
what do they mean?
Let me, you're bringing up something that really ticked me off, is that one of these Tea Party guys, a senator from Iowa, Missouri? No, I'm sorry, it's Iowa. Senator from Iowa, Steve King, not the writer, not the author Stephen King, Steve King, mm-hmm. Senator of Iowa, proposed a federal bill, a national law to shoot down California's law, because here in California we have a law that says we don't want eggs from chickens that are we won't buy your eggs from chickens that are put in a box and can't turn around. If you want to sell us your eggs, you have to treat your chickens. Humanely. We won't buy your eggs. So this guy, and that's, you know, that's what we the people of California in our state law.
All said, we have, you all sat
we
down.
We have a state law, and we said,
no,
you know,
no more abused
chickens here.
No eggs from abused.
We'll buy eggs from other from other states, but you have to adhere to these rules.
Yeah, no abused chickens. Abused chickens have eggs, and those eggs won't. What, they won't cook correctly, or what? What happens to those eggs? Are
no,
they emotionally?
It's not.
It's
not.
It's animal.
We didn't make this rule because of how they cook or taste to us. We just want the animals to be treated humanely.
All right. So then you're not going to buy. All right. So that's your right. That's a policy of California. We're not going to buy eggs. And then what you're saying?
But this guy, who is a Tea Party person, who is espousing states' rights, is trying to put through a national law that would shoot down the California law. That would say no state can have a law that says we don't want your product if it's harming animals. You can't have a law like that. He's a hypocrite. He is a hypocrite.
Well, wait a second. Wouldn't somebody again? I don't know if this is the devil's advocate or if it's just the way I think. But if somebody won't eat an egg from an abused chicken. Right. Mm-hmm. So they says, you know, I had a great breakfast this morning. I had two fried eggs from chickens that were handled, and you know exactly where they came from, you know, Calm Farms or wherever it is that they really treat these chickens well. And they says, yeah, that was great breakfast, but that was a long time ago. So what do you want to do now? So let's go to El Pollo Loco. Yeah, isn't there something a little? Let's go eat the chicken now. You know, they killed them. Do we kill them? They didn't kill them cruelly, I guess. What? They didn't wring their necks? I don't get it. I don't know. But that maybe that's a whole other thing we could talk about in terms of, I don't know what that's all about. But what you're saying is how one state should be allowed to say, look, we're going to do what we want. That's a state issue.
Right.
So why wouldn't
it's our state law? But this guy who is a Tea Party person who says states should have, you know, a superior over the federal government. States should have a say. But then he's trying to pass a federal law that would shoot down our state law. So.
And he also would. This guy also would say, don't go to El Pollo Loco because they probably aliens in there working. He would probably say, he would probably be right because they alien.
He wouldn't say that because all he wants to do is sell chicken and eggs because he's from Iowa and his people are, you know, representing chickens and eggs.
He doesn't even know what came first.
No. So why this guy should not be a senator? He doesn't even know what came first.
So, all right. So we're back to that. That's hypocritical in itself, right? Because it's like, I want states do what states want. No, government doesn't tell the state to do, but.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, isn't that the same thing with abortion?
In what way?
Well, because they say, like, we want to overturn Roe versus Wade, which is federal, which a federal goes to all the states. We don't want, so this, well, you know, you can go to Nevada, you can go to Minnesota, so if there were five states where you could have abortions, they wouldn't want that either. They'd try to change that, right? So they're trying to change things nationally, and yet they want states to do what things separately.
Yeah, I mean, there are many examples like the ones you just gave, the one in Steve King in Iowa, and other examples where they say in one breath, they say, no, states' rights better than federal rights. We don't want more federal laws. We don't want this and that. But when it helps them, then we have to have the federal law.
And, of course, the funny thing about this, too, I'm using funny again in a New York sense. The odd thing about this is that when conservatives, and certainly their king conservative, St. Reagan, how different were things here? When they were in charge, how different were things? How much better were they that there was a Republican president, a Republican, or and he was, he's the king conservative, isn't he? He's the one they always talk about. Reagan, this, Reagan, that.
Oh, yeah. Reagan is like Saint Reagan.
Yeah, but he didn't stop unemployment insurance. He didn't, he didn't do these things that, Sean Hannity sits back and goes, oh, I'm a Reaganist, and if I were you, I'd be what? I'd be, I'd have I have a chimp named, what was the chimp's name?
Oh, yeah.
Bongo? Not Bongo. Bingo.
Here we go again.
Here you go again.
Bingo, bongo, boffo,
wrestling with bongo.
Bonzo.
That was
Bonzo.
It. Bonzo.
Bedtime.
Bedtime for Bonzo.
For Bonzo.
Okay, but bedtime. It's, but he wasn't, so I don't get it. Who would, what would happen?
Well, you see, now, if Republicans today were like Reagan, I wouldn't be so irked all the time, you know, because there are many things he did that I don't like, and I do think it's ridiculous that they've sainted him, but he was actually able to work with the other side, compromise, you know, actually listen to people, these Tea Party people aren't like they will not bend at all. They will not bend.
Just listen to this for a second. You're going to love this because this is only like 50 seconds. I think it just goes right into it. Here we go. Listen to this.
This kind of fumbling is the mark of a bachelor, and bachelors shouldn't have babies. Now, should they? Especially not a baby like Bonzo. Are you mystified, bewildered, and puzzled? You needn't be. All these shenanigans take place in a hilarious new Hollywood movie called Bedtime for Bonzo, starring Ronald Reagan, Diana Lynn, and Bonzo, that amazing chimp. It started as an experiment, but the professor soon discovered he couldn't be a papa without a mama. So he hired a housekeeper, and then the fun began.
Ooh. It's a monkey.
Well, sure it's a monkey.
Why didn't you tell me?
I did.
It's the funniest film idea since Francis. Bedtime for Bonzo, the comedy hit of the year.
It says opens Tuesday, January 19th. Wouldn't it be funny if that was like the day of the inauguration? Isn't that the day?
What? Yeah, it's right around there. That's
it's funny. Anyway, that was a trailer for Bedtime for Bonzo.
Where did you dig that up? That's great.
Starring Ronald Reagan. They called him Reagan.
Did you? I noticed that. Yeah. Reagan. Ronald Reagan.
And it's amazing. And this is forget about policies and politics and everything. It still fascinates me that the guy we were just looking at became president of the United States.
Yeah. Only in America.
Anyway, so there, yeah, but, you know, Ronald, and, you know, he's another guy. You know, he became conservative. He was once once as Democrat as the day is long.
I mentioned Joseph McCarthy a number of times tonight, but McCarthy, here's a hypocrite boy. He started as a Democrat and realized he wasn't going to get enough money unless he became a Republican. And he just switched, switched his vow and knew what the base would like. Oh, the base, they hate communists. You know, I could build that up. You know, I could be famous. People will be talking about me long after I'm dead on the internet and on the Cotolo Chronicles and everything.
Get a message from Dr. Waldar here. It says, okay, Tom's Paul McCartney may have sucked, and that your imitation. But how about some love for excellent Ronald Reagan? And you did a pretty good Ronald Reagan there. I guess that's
Here I go again with
it. Yeah, that's pretty good. That was pretty good. So, so what have we established with this then? Ronald Reagan was what? What? What did we just? Where did we get here now?
How did we get to Ronald Reagan?
Is there anything?
I don't know, but at least he's like a person. You know, actually, if you compare Obama with Ronald Reagan in terms of policy making, there's a lot of similarities. Obama is very, very moderate. Mm. He is not.
You're shaking up a lot of people right now. If they're listening, they wouldn't be
over
listening.
To the left, you know. Yeah. But Obama will never, ever be accepted. Obviously, I mean that joke. We started early with the joke by Jon Stewart about.
Yeah.
You know, they discovered he's still black.
Yeah.
It's just. I mean, this is a part of the back to the borderers again. This is a part of their mindset. You know, they've been called the Tea Party people, somebody, I don't know who said it, and it irked them, but they've been called the American Taliban, you know. They're the American Taliban. They are so inflexible and so it has to be this way. They will not accept any foreigners, and I use the word foreigners to mean anyone who is not, you know, does not hold all those values. Their gun-toting values,
it's a white man controlled thing. It's a very Caucasian white Anglo-Saxon.
Caucasianally,
I like black people. Did you hear what Bill Maher said? Bill, that's a name. We've just made another word there. We can say
yes.
People like, you know, like you're a white supremacist. Yes, but occasionally I like black people.
Yeah.
Now, Bill Maher said that the other thing, when you talk about hypocrisy, he's saying, why is it that there are Tea Party people who have ideas and they come out with policies, and the minute Obama or the left or gets anywhere near there and says, okay, that's good, then they don't like it.
Yeah,
they turn on their own. You know, they have a term for that now. It's called blackpedaling.
They just blackpedal. If he comes out and agrees with it, it's like, oh no, we can't know.
That's got to be wrong.
See, there you go. There you go again. The borders, they have to have a border. If Obama crosses the border or erases it and says, yeah, I agree with you, they have to make another border.
I'm seeing exactly what you're saying here about these borderers. Now, Cavaliers would not be – and we mentioned these other ones because we mentioned all four of them. But you're saying – forget about the other three in terms of this I use the word radical, but they are. These radical right groups.
The Tea Party.
They're borderers.
People, those are the border. They're roots are of the borderers. They take on some cavalier values now and then when it suits them, like wealth, aristocracy and wealth. they value that. And that's pretty much a cavalier quality. But, you know, this intolerance and my theory, this Ted Cruz, the new rising star of the anchor that's going to sink this country, Ted Cruz, is I think he's the replacement. I think he is the orchestrated replacement of
McCarthy.
There goes the I'm having a senior
what?
Moment.
McCarthy?
The female who vice presidential candidate. He's the replacement for her because, after all, he's a man. Mm-hmm. You know, as popular as she was, and maybe even still is, I don't know, she can't get that position of power because she, after all, she's a woman. And that's that's not acceptable either.
But Michelle Bachmann's still out there, and she said something the other day that was she's not even in office anymore.
Yeah, she resigned not resigned, but said, I'm not going to run anymore or something.
Well, Cruz found a niche and he got in there. But let's face it. I mean, if I were going to make a bet, would Ted Cruz is never going to get anywhere near the presidency. He can't in this day and age, in this climate, in this atmosphere, in a country that reelected Obama after all of that stuff that went on. Okay, after there's no way. So I don't know what he's doing other than getting himself in a position to always make a living doing this one way or another. But he's not really a threat because what is he going to do? Where is he going to go? What's going to happen to this guy? Nothing. He'll drown in his own pablum. Did I say?
Yeah,
drown in his own drool.
I do hope. And actually, I see some positive signs. John McCain, who is publicly on this floor of the Senate talking against the craziness.
But they never liked him.
Ted Cruz.
They never liked John McCain on the far right either, and that's one of the reasons they went with Palin. To get more. I mean, John McCain has never been. He was always known as a maverick.
Yeah,
he's never been a Tea Party type conservative.
No, but he did make the mistake, in my opinion. He made the mistake Well, you know, this gets to be a tricky thing, because when you're running for president, you do all kinds of crazy things just to get the vote, you know. But I think, you know, he obviously took on Palin to get that those border people, you know, that total conservative wing, you know.
Yeah, I just don't see. I can't imagine. I would never put any money on the fact that Cruz could be, you know, do anything. That look at all the people that Well, anyway, I don't think so. I don't even know. Do you even have a speculation on who the Republican Party would put up next time? Because I mean, I think if you wanted to make a bet right now, based on not even based on policy or anything, the fact is, if Hillary wants to run, would there be a woman in the United States that wouldn't vote for her just because she's a woman? I mean, it's like, how do you lose?
Well, I mean, there might be the women that won't vote for her will be the border women. They won't vote for her,
but that's
actually a small minority.
I mean, if Romney couldn't get – he lost women by 11 points. That's gigantic. And he actually improved, because women I think there was 12 points between McCain and Obama. But how on earth are they going to – why did I bring this up? Oh, did you have any idea who they would run against anybody Democratic next time who would have a chance? Let's do that. Who could they run who would have a chance? Do we not know this person yet?
You mean against Hillary?
Well, against anyone, Democratic. Who's out there that we know, or don't we know this person?
Well, that's a good question. They might go with Paul Ryan.
He's a loser already, though. Even though vice president's come back, and we know that's a notorious failure in that vice president's coming back.
Yes, yes. There's a track record.
And that's without the climate right now.
Consistency wins horse races and elections. And
but you know, he's already proven. I mean, if he was that popular and everybody loved him that much, he would have made a marked impression upon who voted for Romney. He didn't.
Yeah.
But people don't vote for vice president, but yeah. So who? Oh, what?
Wow. I don't know.
That's it.
I don't know.
That's it. It's a mystery. They're all jockeying for some kind of position to get going. I don't know.
But you know, on that topic, the guy who wrote this blog, the Genius at Work blog, he ends his blog with a prediction or a culmination of where he sees the party right now, the Republican Party. And he says, this is a quote from his blog, "The Republican Party has become the captive of a single cultural faction that is unwilling to compromise and unable to moderate its anxiety warped view of the world. The rest of the nation is fed up with this faction and wants to move forward, not anxiously cling to the past. The teabagger protests, 9/12 movement, but I don't know what that is, but the 9/12 movement antics
that's
of the right wing are the spasms of a culture that never learned to look toward the future and sees every other, quote, other as an enemy. It fights because it doesn't know what else to do."
And here, right now, I'm going to play for you the most recent speech by one of the peoples, Tom Peoples, listen to me, one of the types Tom just described now speaking to TPLN. Hear us.
"Not this time, girl. Not this time. Not this fucking time. No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No! Not this fucking time! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! You made me look a right cunt!"
Okay. And sir, that's a sir. I told sir. Oh God, how can I forget his name? The guy who played Gandhi. Sir, what's the actor's name?
Oh yeah,
sir. He's a sir. Isn't that amazing? How these names just disappear from my head. Sir Hiram Bellman. Sir.
The guy who played Gandhi. I know who you mean.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Great
conceptually,
actor.
But
great actor. Great actor. He's
Not this time.
Did you ever see this movie?
No.
It's a great movie called.
What was that?
It's a movie. It's a movie called. What is wrong with me? I've forgotten everything at the moment. Oh, Sexy Beast. You've got to see this movie. It's called Sexy Beast. And it features him. And I know I'm going to get an email or a message here right now. Or I should just look it up. How can I forget his name? But anyway, that there they are. I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
That would be, you could take that from a speech, you know. I mean, I just heard last night on, I think it was the Moment of Zen for at the end of Jon Stewart show, where he had a Tea Party guy saying, "We will not stop until Obama. We have to run him out of town." I mean, like he run him out of town, like. Yeah. We're not going to stop until we get rid of Obama somehow. You know, he went on this long thing. This thing that you played, I mean, that's the entire tone of this guy's speech.
And I want to let me thank Skyler who got just fast blasted us or whatever. Gives a, it's Sir Ben Kingsley, of course. That's
Kingsley. No.
Yes, it's Ben Kingsley.
No.
That is not edited. That's a clip from the movie. He actually does that.
Oh wow!
In the movie, yeah, in the movie. But
say that. What's the movie again?
Sexy Beast. It's a great movie. It's an English movie. It's a great movie. Sexy Beast. Okay. So what happens now? Did we get to the core of what we were talking about, or is it what happens now? How do we wind this into some?
Here's what I would wish for our country, and that is that we ignore these Tea Party people until they're ready to act like adults and take everyone's point of view. And compromise and be rational and believe in science and, you know, otherwise just freaking ignore them. And we can't have them stopping the government anymore. We have to stop them somehow. We've got to stop them from stopping progress.
And this is a great philosophy and problem, but, you know, I always think of the same thing because I'm not necessarily active, but, you know, what do you do? I mean, what are you saying? Are we supposed to get a militia of some sort and all get out there? What do we do? You're saying ignore them now.
That has been a fear of mine for years. Since these Tea Party people came around,
yeah.
This has been a fear of mine.
That
because they so staunchly hold up the Second Amendment, and they're so unbendable, inflexible. History will repeat itself, and people will take up arms. You know, people on the other side who are not inflexible but are sick of the crazy people. Well, they will take up arms, and there'll be armed conflict if people can't cooperate and collaborate.
And so you're saying that you?
I'm not saying I want that to happen. Mm. I'm saying that history has shown that this has happened, you know, when there is an intolerance, you know, historically people will rise up against it. And the irony of this intolerance, though, is that it's from the minority. Such a minority has silenced. We are the silenced majority, and we won't take it anymore. But we have to. How are we going to do it? I hope not violently. I hope, but. Get the message through somehow.
Well, then you have to make it. What are you doing?
I write a lot. I write a lot of letters.
You do. You are active. I'm not active. I have had confrontations, and I get on shows, and I mean, and I'll talk from this particular point of view, which is not theirs, And I've met people and I talk with people who, I don't feel I'm getting anywhere with these people. I mean, if I'm the one who feels isolated and rejected, of course, that was always the case anyway. So.
Well, I can relate to that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what to do other than, to profess, an open mind. To think through things. You know what? Maybe, I don't know, maybe I do some of that on the show without even knowing it. Maybe by talking about this, that, and the other thing, and talking about things the way I talk about them, and not directing them towards political, movements like, you know, the Becks and the Limbaughs and the stuff. Maybe that mm-hmm. opens people's minds in a sense, and maybe that's my contribution. I don't know. I just don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
You know, cause, voting is, you vote, and I vote. I mean, I vote.
I think, you know, I on that point, that last point, what bothers me personally, I have to watch myself, you know, to stop getting so angry, because I want to be tolerant, and I don't want to just react.
You made a vow.
You know, yes, I want to be tolerant, and I made a vow to myself to be tolerant. And I think, you know, people like Colbert and John Stewart, those shows and things, I think they are actually making, they're doing a good thing in this world by using humor, you know, yeah. But it comes through how ridiculous these points of view are sometimes, you know?
Humor is a great vehicle for truths and lies. It's good. And believe it or not, this because, and you know this, I don't have to believe it or not. I don't know why I said that. And in this day and age, the generations that are really having the big problems, the people getting out of colleges and going to work and everything, these people are, that's where they're getting their news. They're getting their news from the whole new world, the new age of tweets and Comedy Centrals and humor and all that stuff that's going on out there. And I don't see, aside from Dennis Miller, who's stuck somewhere, I don't know where. Yeah. Talk about opportunists. I don't know what he found or what, you know. But aside from him, you know, who are the ones who are out there making jokes that make sense or that people identify with the character of liberal jokes? I don't see it. Because I don't see minds, I don't see these minds developing. There aren't any. Who are these young people? Remember when Michael J. Fox played that kid in the TV show? And he was Where are those kids? Who are they? What do they listen to? Where did they go? Are they all, you know, are they all listening to Christian rock? Are they all somehow sequestered in this biblical world or in this world, ecumenical world?
Yeah.
I just think that anybody who opens up their mind as much as they possibly can, can't possibly, it's just never closed again. And I think that the two elections that we have seen, regardless of all the pressure against Obama and whatever he represented, I think that really proves we've crossed over something. I think the most recent election was a statement for the future. And I guess what I'm saying is I have a lot more hope, and I'll worry about these people a lot less. I don't let them spend their lives getting their blood pressure up because John Adams and Madison and I said something and we don't like it. You know, let it go. Just, you know, I have a very good, hopeful, I think it's on the right track all the way. And I don't think you should get upset either. I want to see you.
Yeah.
I want to see you healthy.
Thank you.
Don't let it take your life. Don't let it.
Yeah.
Don't.
I do. I mean, I do let it get to me too much. I am letting it go, and that feels good to let it go, but it also feels good to talk about it on the show, and I hope a Tea Party person heard this show.
I'm sure.
And said, you know, I don't know, maybe we are too intolerant. I don't know if that's probably wishing too much, but who knows?
Who knows? Well, I know one thing. And that is that whatever the case, whatever the topic will be, we'll get you back in November. And, we'll find something else. And who knows what will happen between now and then. Maybe something that comes up and makes it, I don't know, has to do with this. Whatever. Let's just hope we're all here to talk about it.
Absolutely.
And again, you'll be in touch, Tom Savino, from an undisclosed location.
Yes, I'm at an undisclosed location, but you can reach me at TJSavino at Twitter.
Yes, I'm always retweeting them, so you got it onto mine, and you get a member, and you'll get over with him. As Alex the African Grey Parrot said, his dying words, "You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you." And that's how we'll do it. Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome, Frank. See you next month.
I love you, and we'll see you next time, too. Okay. There goes Mr. Savino, and here goes me. I'm home out. I'm going to be out of here, too. That's the way it is. We'll be back again next time. Cotolo Chronicles at blogspot.com. Find me on Facebook. Say hello. Even if you're a scammer, I'll take care of you. I got plenty of scammers. We're going to have a whole show on that, too. We should do a show on the scammers. They're all over the place. Yeah, we'll do that. And good night, Mrs. Ursula, wherever you are. If you want to hold on, Tom, until we're clear, we can talk a bit if you don't have to go. All you other people, that's it now. We're leaving because Tom and I have nothing more to say.
Cotolo Chronicles.